Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. It's a real pleasure to have you here on the show, and we thank you very much for making us a part of your day today. We're continuing our conversation on Close Up Radio with Dorothy Siminovich of Gestalt Coaching Works, based in Ohio. Now, Gestalt means the big picture, or the parts reflect the whole. It's based on the idea that we are greater and different than the sum of our parts. For many years, that term has been associated with Gestalt therapy. Well, Dorothy is considered an innovative pioneer in adapting this approach to coaching. It really is a catalyst for new possibilities, and the coaching mastery requires an awareness intelligence that tracks both the coach's self-awareness and client awareness throughout the coaching session. It also enables the coach to be ready to offer the meaningful observation or intervention that energizes the client forward in new perspective or possibilities. Dorothy's hope is that her clients really, you know, own their own power, and that real understanding of being choiceful. We are living in a world of tremendous challenge and change, but we have much more choice than we realize. From London to Prague, Istanbul to Singapore, and beyond, Dorothy has been all over the world teaching and inspiring people to become Gestalt-trained coaches. She's also the author of A Gestalt Coaching Primer, The Path Toward Awareness IQ. That was published in 2017, and it articulates the complex Gestalt concepts and processes into clear language to allow both beginners and more advanced Gestalt coaches to grasp the processes for awareness development and its impact on change and transformation. The book is available at Amazon, and the website for Dorothy is gestaltcoachingworks.com, and that is spelled G-E-S-T-A-L-T, and then coachingworks.com. Let's welcome Dorothy back to Close Up Radio live exclusively. We have an incredible conversation all ready to go for you, and we thank you for joining us all around the world as well. Dorothy, thank you very much for joining us once again as our guest here on the program. Looking forward to a fascinating conversation with you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit about what makes this type of coaching exciting and some of the jazzy aspects of it, some of the things that really draw people to this particular kind of coaching. There's lots of different coaching out there. There's so many different options out there. And sometimes it can be confusing for people. They're not sure what they need, what would really benefit them. Tell us more about some of those incredible things about this kind of coaching that really stand out.
Thanks, Jim. Well, I get this question a lot. For one thing, the word Gestalt comes from a German word, which means the whole or the pattern. Sometimes we say the big picture, and people always say, well, what is Gestalt? And then when I translate it, then they still say, well, what is that? Because it still stays German. So the idea of what is that's kind of funny. I always have to translate that, and I'm always amused that it seems mysterious until we're actually in a coaching process with people. And then it becomes really fascinating because the Gestalt approach is really about the now, how I recognize you as a person, in this case, I would say my client, and how I customize myself to meet you. So if you're very, animated, and let's say you speak very quickly, one of the things that I come to is I come to meet you in a way that creates more space to really hold the moment of your speaking. I'm not going to go start and say, this is how we do it. There is not a should. There is a more customized, creative way of meeting the people that we meet, and an appreciation of creativity, which means getting interested in how to meet people in a very present-centered way. And they hear, so it's present-centered, it's customized to meet the diversity of whoever we're meeting with. So I would be a little bit different if I was meeting a person from France than perhaps a person from Montreal or a person from the States, because we customize with our understanding kind of a different quality of energy, sometimes even across culture, across gender, across whatever our differences are. There is a way of being in the moment that we bring our attention, and so people can tell when we're paying attention, and the qualities of Gestalt is highly attentive to the moment. And the third thing that I think is really very interesting about Gestalt is it is a very creative way of understanding how to meet another person. So, like, for example, I've been listening to you, Jim, and as I sit listening to you, Jim, I'm really taken by your measured voice qualities. I find it very soothing. And I've actually been saying, well, that's very interesting. Talking with Jim could be a very soothing experience. And I would get interested, and I would say, well, Jim, how is that for you? Do people comment on how soothing your voice is? By the way, do they, Jim?
You know, it's very interesting. Constantly, all the time, people that I interview on close-up television, radio, people that I just know personally, professionally in other arenas, they say two major things. One is the vocal quality is almost melodic, and it has a melody, it has a flow to it, and inflection, articulation, and emphasis on certain punching certain words and a certain flow. And then the other thing is that is constantly said is I've made it easy for them. Whatever it is, whether it's an on-air interview like this or just another conversation or assisting somebody with something, the word easy is used every single time, and I've been paying heed to both things. But some have said I was so nervous, and you picked up without showing the world that they were nervous. They'll tell me they were nervous afterwards, and I would be very intuitively conscious of that and find ways through my voice, through the words I choose, to keep them comforted and having it easy for them without pointing out the person's nervous, so the person's going to fall off a cliff, or I'm sort of like right there in an unannounced, unmeasured way. The other third thing I would say is a number of people have been saying an understated leader. That I hear a lot lately. Yeah, those three things are constant lately. Interesting that you picked that out within just a few minutes of our show. You're very observant and intuitive yourself.
So, Jim, well, first of all, thank you. And I'm going to say something just to build on that. It's very fascinating because I just use this moment as a moment just to give an awareness. So this is the other thing. The Gestalt approach, I call people, myself included, awareness agents. So you think, well, what is that? And I think, well, we point out an awareness either I'm having or I notice or I inquire about. And you say, well, that's the obvious. Well, no, not at all. It's the obvious very often that people don't pick up. And what we do is we make the obvious more visible. And so it's interesting. As I said that to you, I want to just use this moment, Jim, so very exciting, because you've told me three things about yourself and shared it with many people who I think probably tune in and listen to you, because they get a dose of, you know, melodic, you know, supportive, and also kind of a quality of leadership. So I say to all those listening, what are your differentiators that maybe you're aware of or not aware of that people are paying attention to and being influenced by? And you know, Jim, people are very interested in knowing what's the impact that they have on others, And here's the interesting thing. They may not always be able to get that data because it takes sometimes, you know, you hear it from people that love you, but the people that love you have got to have good skills on it. Just because, you know, my husband or my family love me, they may not be able to tell me important observations about myself because they're compliant with me. And they, you know, so can we, in a coaching moment where it's safe, give observations of, like some of my clients. I remember one client came to me and he had a very harsh voice. And I said to him very, you know, and this is the other thing, how do we give observations? How do we help a person become more aware? And I said, you know, I'm really struck by the volume of your voice. Do people ever speak to you about it? And, you know, when I say it in a very gentle way, even hard things, I sometimes think the job of giving observations is to say it in a way that is done with curiosity and from the heart rather than, you know, like just cruel observation that could be wounding. I remember once saying to a person, you know, you have a very a strong voice. Do people ever ask you about it? Oh, Jim, who's this? Yeah, you know, people say it's abrupt and brusque. And I thought, well, this is the work. Sometimes our voice, you know, for whatever reasons we're not aware of, our voice is our instrument. The way we stand in the world, this is what I noticed. You talked about a quiet, kind of not imposing leaders. So often leaders or people's management positions, in leadership positions, and even in positions where they have to influence others, whether they're on a board or whether in family systems, they're completely unaware of the nonverbal cues that they're giving. Because why? No one maybe has mentioned it. Or they've made it difficult for people to tell them. Whenever anybody says, I'd like to tell you something, you say, oh, please, it's okay, don't bother. So yeah. How to give people data, by the way, is something that this is the Gestalt approach is really exquisitely good at in a very creative way. And here's the other thing is, it's not really linear. You know, you don't say to a person, come to a Gestalt coach and we're going to do 10 things. Well, we don't do that. We say, come to a Gestalt coach, and you're going to have an experience of becoming more aware either of yourself or either of the moment or of some challenge with a different perspective. And I think the last thing just to say for the moment, it's what the Gestalt approach is very much known for, is supporting people and also teams to get interested in how they're looking at a situation. You know, Henry Ford, the great car industrialist, was known to say something like this. He says, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're both right. And so it's such an interesting thing. Even our mindset, even the way we look at something, already drives our behavior, and so often we're not aware of. So again, from the Gestalt approach, we get interested in supporting people in a coaching context to get interested in how they're looking at themselves or others or their world or a challenge, and then be able to creatively learn about how that's working for them, or here's the other thing, not working for them. So often people say, well, you know, I'm always in this situation. And then our response was, so do you want to learn the factors that support you to always be in these kind of situations? Because people sometimes are used to being in a stuck situation, and they just stop even thinking that they can do anything about those kind of conditions. And we, from a Gestalt perspective, we like to ask these provocative questions like, are you interested in continuing that, or would you become interested in some options? So I think, Jim, we love the idea of options.
Options are wonderful. And, you know, I love all of this approach because obviously it's based so much on psychology, and I love conversations that involve figuring things out, figuring out, you know, the why. I was mentioning to you before I went live on the air that I am very much a why person. I think why is the first thing I always ask, because when I feel the why, then I'm like, okay, let's figure out the nuts and bolts, the how, the when, the where, the who, the what. But the why needs to be felt for me first, which I think is because of the consciousness and awareness of the human condition and always looking for the humanity in everything. So the why gets me to that connective tissue of the humanity, and I see and feel the humanity of the people or person, and then we get into the drier stuff, the how, the when, the where, the what, all of that. For you, the clients, the folks that come to you for this type of work, this type of coaching, is there a certain demographic, or is it really for everybody and anybody?
So part of my answer is I think a little bit interesting. I think in terms of, you know, sometimes we get into market, our approach is the only approach. And I'm going to say something very different. I think right now, and I really do represent a school of accredited coaches, which is called the International Coach Federation. And there are thousands of coaches today who are accredited and excellent. So it really has to do many times is how good is the coach that you're with in terms of being committed to a way of thinking and acting that is a champion for the client who comes to them. There is something to be said for the well-intentioned and rigorous coach who listens to a client with the challenges and says, I think I can work with you, or if I can't, I'm going to recommend that you work with this person. So I think that is just true across all the industry. So for example, you love the idea of why. I'm going to say that for some people, they need to know the how, and then they can get to the why. And I say, like, some people just create a pattern of stuckness or, you know, hopelessness, and they can't even figure out the why. So it's really about responding to where the client is. What is the Gestalt approach supportive? It's not a particular client, but it's a particular process, because we can work with leaders who need to reinvigorate their vision or ask themselves, well, why don't, you know, I need to do an organizational change project, and I want all my people to really get on board. And how am I sounding? Am I engaging enough? You can't ask that of the people you work with, because that reveals a sense of self-doubt. But you want to bring your self-doubt to a safe enough environment where you can present it and kind of have a trusted confidence, which is what I think a coach should be for an executive leader, who can say, okay, do I have your permission to give you my observations and my feedback? But also for the person who is stuck. So many people feel momentary stuckness or sometimes chronic stuckness. And I think the Gestalt approach is a very enlivening way of, like, let's look at this stuckness. It's not a death sentence. It's a pattern. How do we support you to liberate yourself from your stuckness? You know, I mean, we were talking about what are the ideal clients. Well, I think there's the ideal learning moments. You know, a few years ago, I had a wonderful client who wanted a job position that was at the top of the organizational kind of hierarchy, but it wasn't really being offered. And, of course, she was worried about being a woman getting this kind of position. And one of the things that she needed to do was to be able to not sabotage herself in her anxiety. So what we had to come up with is creative ways to support herself and to not lose her hope for her own future. I mean, that's an unusual goal. And so what the Gestalt approach is very supportive in doing is helping people get in touch with what do you really need to move forward to? And here's the other side. What is stopping you that may be an old pattern that you don't know how to get out of, but you could get yourself liberated to move forward to? And what example I mean by that is, so often people would like to get either a new job or have a new way of moving forward in the world, maybe even a job career change or move cities. And they think, no, I can't upset my family system, or I never saw myself going for this kind of job, or I was this, I don't know if I could be that. And again, they don't have a place where they could really look at their options. And what we notice from the Gestalt approach is, this is where what we do, and I think the difference from therapy to coaching is, we provide a very safe environment where you could look at your options and we kind of accelerate the learning process so you could make better choices rather than spend years trying to figure something out and then say, you know, so many times people say, I wish I could have done this or had this kind of coaching opportunity 4 or 5 years ago when I was going through this, and I didn't give myself the permission. And, you know, Jim, isn't that a sadness, right? To give yourself permission to, one, get more support, and, two, have more creative review of what your options are. And the third thing I'm going to say this to you.
Very liberating, too, to have to know you have those opportunities that is available to you. Absolutely.
And people, you know, and I just think for anyone listening and for us, that's a wonderful word, liberation. I think that so often, and especially in this, as we come out of the COVID times, and I have gone with everyone I'm talking to, the full range of despair to hopefulness. And having said that, you know, 100 years ago, there were 50 million people, unfortunately, that died from the influenza. So we're much better than 100 years ago. We have science. We have many things. But one of the things from this time is we need more learning, and we need self-liberation and support to look at what our options are. There are more people now than ever, I think, saying, maybe I should get some coaching because I don't know if I should go back to job the way it was, or I should continue the job the way it was, or how to really support myself and have balance in my life. People, and this is kind of interesting, Jim, because your question of why is now many people saying, why should I do it that way? What's another way that I could be doing it? And people now need more support for saying, what's another way that I could be doing my life? Because the world as we know it is not coming back. How can I go forward in this world that's still uncertain and the road forward is just emerging? But one thing that I find, Jim, that more people need is support.
Yeah, yeah. And oftentimes they don't reach out because they feel either they can handle it themselves, stiff upper lip,
sure.
Maybe it's part of their environment. You know, we don't ask for help. Maybe they think it is a sign of weakness or vulnerability. So they just don't, and they try to either, you know, not deal with it or deal with it later down the line, or just don't even think about it. And that can really build up and build up and build up over time. And that can be problematic because
absolutely.
It can come at you when you least expect it, all built up.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I call that the mystery mastery process, which I learned from a senior colleague of mine many years ago. Everyone has an element of this where we want support. We know we don't know something, but maybe it's hard to admit it. So we keep what we don't know mysterious. And some people think, well, you should know it. So we try to assume some mastery. Again, we don't ask because we think we should know it. Therefore, we don't ask. Between the mystery and the mastery, the assumed mastery, it's very lonely not having support. And I just want to make a link to the Simone Biles thing that just happened now at the Olympics, where she said, I can't go forward. I'm scared of whatever that was, twisties. Maybe we never know what that really feels like, because I do think she was terrified in that kind of being uncertain if she could land the vault. But what a metaphor for people is we are all jumping off some kind of a vault in our lives. Do we have enough support to know that we can land and stand and move forward with enough self-support to live our lives in our work and our personal life? And that's a question, whether you're a Gestalt coach or any other kind of coach, can we support you in that question? And from the Gestalt perspective, we do that, I think, very creatively.
Yes. It really is fascinating to me. It's eye-opening and revealing oftentimes as well, and beautiful because, again, when you go through the process, you discover things. You know, a lot of the answers to our questions are within, but we have a lot of blocks and a lot of plug-up that we do that doesn't allow us to even consider or even put any sort of gravitas to our own thoughts within. We sort of put out the flame that is within because of things going on around us. And I think when people realize that a lot of the, answers to life's questions are within, and if we allow those to rise to the surface and we value them and appreciate them, it can be eye-opening, and it can be a very beautiful, blossoming experience. Your book, too, is something that I think, when upon reading, can be a very beautiful and blossoming experience. Let's talk about the book a little bit more for those who didn't hear the first episode and want to know more about the book, which is a wonderful companion to all of this expertise and this wonderful work that you do with your clients.
Jim, I just want to say, so I just want to link to what you just said about within. You know, coaching is really deep coaching, and smart coaching is to support the client finding the answer within. It's called inside-out coaching. When we tell you something rather than you discover it from within, it's not the same discovery. So inside, learning happens from the inside out, not the outside in. So I just thought your wisdom is also something that is exactly what we need to be mirroring. And for everyone who's listening, I was actually, many years ago, I was invited to a huge summit, and I laughed, you know, I got a big lesson that said, time for me to write this book on the Gestalt Approach, because it is really a three-dimensional kind of phenomena. We work with a pattern that may be outdated, and we work from awareness. We have a way of working that we call it awareness tools. And those are very interesting. You know, I was trying to think of a metaphor that captures what the Gestalt Approach. I don't play cards, but people know about poker players. Poker players can read the cards that other people are sitting with based on what's called a tell, when people have a good hand, or some kind of nonverbal sign that they're sitting with. And a good card player can read other people and know how to handle that moment of projecting their presence around their cards. And I think it's kind of a good way of describing the Gestalt Approach. So that's what I did, try to, in the clearest language I could, not make it very academic, although some people say it's still pretty academic. But in particular, one of the things today that I think people really want to know about is, what's the presence that I bring? Because in a very fast world, we have about literally 2 minutes to have an impact. Based on those 2 minutes, that's how people are going to be reacting to us, whether it's at the ticket counter of life, you know, wherever we go. And very often people are unaware of their presence. So I talked about presence in Chapter 5, and I thought that was, in terms of this, my work, that was particularly illuminating. You don't have to be a coach to get interested in that. I find worldwide people are very interested in, what's the presence I bring? What do I evoke in people? And what are my choices about how I can act in the world? The other thing that I talk about that in this book is understanding what resistance is, which is what I said yes to, what I said no to, and how my no maybe is now outdated, so that I could look at maybe saying yes to. You know, all of us grow up with shoulds that we learn from authority figures, and how to learn about enlarging our yes, when maybe it was no, or changing our yes to a no to set boundaries. That's actually a very important feature of moving through our world with more options. So if you wanted to look at what's the resistance and why is it valuable and what do I need to learn about myself, you'll get that from this book. What's about presence that I could look at? You'll get that from this book. And if I were to use more awareness, I had a cousin, a family member recently, she sat at a restaurant and she said to me, you know, Dorothy, you know the people at the table next to me? I said, yes. She said, I have not noticed anything about them.
Yeah.
So I said, what's important? She said, well, I know other people notice things, but I really don't. And I said, okay, how's that working for you? Because people really realize she's a very guarded person. And I said, okay, it's not a problem if it doesn't bother you. Tell me where the problem is. She said, I don't know. Maybe should I? Only if you want to, not because you should. And, you know, Jim, that's what I want to say to everybody. It's what you want to, not what you should. And that's what the liberating quality of the Gestalt Approach helps people look at, what do I really want? yes, and what do I want to say no to, and what do I want to get rid of that's an old pattern that maybe I learned from family of origin, maybe I learned from my social system, maybe I learned from my full job. Because right now, all of us are in retooling for our possible future.
That's right. GestaltCoachingWorks.com, G-E-S-T-A-L-T. CoachingWorks.com is the website to connect with Dorothy. And again, the book, A Gestalt Coaching Primer, The Path Toward Awareness, IQ, is available on Amazon. And I think you're going to thoroughly get lost in it and read it again and again and again. One of those kinds of books that every time you read it, you pick up various nuances and you learn a little bit about yourself. This was terrific. Never enough time for these kinds of conversations. 30 minutes goes by in a New York minute. But hopefully we'll be able to maybe chat some more down the line and expand with the examples of the work and things of that nature. Dorothy, thanks so much for joining us for part two of the series here on Close Up Radio. This was really fascinating and invigorating. Good way to kick off a week, too. And I appreciate all the time.
And I appreciate all of your comments and your quiet leadership and melodic wisdom.
I appreciate your observance of that. and I won't change a thing.
Oh, actually,
why should I, right?
Enjoy. No, sometimes we don't say the obvious enough. It's working, and just to appreciate that, and I'm sure all of your listeners, but I'd say to all of your listeners, what is it about yourself that you want to appreciate more? And even that takes another witness. So again, Jim, I thank you for this moment. I wish everyone well.
You as well, and keep up the amazing work you're doing, inspiring others in the beautiful way that you do, Dorothy. We thank Dorothy for being with us. We thank you for being with us as well. This episode has been recorded in its entirety. So if you missed anything or you'd like to hear it again or share the link, feel free to do that. It's available for you. For all of us here at Close Up Television and Radio, I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest from around the world right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for being with us. Be well, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.